Hello all. You are tuning in to the 95th episode of the Audible Wit Book. This is Nina welcoming you. Well, we have no dearth of festivities now. Now that southwestern monsoon rain is waning, or places where it gets the rain, for example, here in Tamil Nadu, we are gearing up to the wetness and slush of the northeastern monsoon. It is this little swing by the monsoon rains covering the whole of Indian subcontinent with either of the monsoon currents have been the lifeline for us. Of course, there are years of aberrations with no rain or too much rain, like some areas have experienced this year. Only some of it is perhaps normal and cyclical, but how much and to what extent climate change will play a role in this is a matter of time to unfold. A disruption of cropping pattern, certain non-predictability and extreme weather events are noticeably more nowadays than, say, even 15-20 years back. Are we going to dwell on this? Yes and no. We need to understand that this is the situation and do everything on our part that keeps us and the planet healthy. Those of you who have already delved into know that that diversity is the key to our survival. Diversity in anything, culture, language, knowledge, techniques, and definitely biodiverse food for ourselves with a more information-based diet rather than trend-based, and which can be accessible and affordable to us, but at the same time can be more equitable and accessible to all. We cannot protect ourselves if we do not protect others. We are truly in it together. This ties up very well to the theme of this year's World Food Day, which is on the 16th of October. The theme this year is Leave No One Behind. FAO, the UN body called Food and Agriculture Organization, celebrates this day not so much to remember the amazing food culture and traditions around the world, which has, you know, much to be celebrated anyway, but to raise awareness for people who do not have such privilege. Hunger and poverty are part of our lives still, and our collective global target of eradicating extreme poverty and hunger by the 2030 got a big hit in this post-pandemic and wartime supply chain disruption. 2022 finds us with an ongoing pandemic, conflict, a climate that won't stop warming, rising prices and international tensions. This is affecting the global food. But the pandemic, for one, opened up exploration into food we ignored before, the food we stigmatized, food that is local and seasonal. For many, this was the pause that they needed to rethink their food, understand the seasonality and why it is important or what is important for us to live a healthy life when we become truly global, i.e. connected globally but operating locally. Webinars across the continents, classes and meetings over the oceans became norm, but at least for some time, food and beverages from afar that we got used to were in short supply. We managed. But now, let us not forget that time. FAO says that this year, the World Food Day, we celebrate food security for all, to build a sustainable world where anyone and everyone, everywhere, has regular access to enough nutritious food. Can we do that by depending on 5 to 6 varieties of handful of grains? How much ever we get technologically savvy and lace our grains with vitamins and nutrients, results have not been great so far. Our treasure trove is not in the labs near or far. Our treasure trove is in our backyard, where with the season some plants bow out, some check in, some get abandoned, whereas some hang on until a more favorable weather pattern emerges. The more we explore our own backyards, more connected we find ourselves with the rest of the world. Say, for example, One of the lost grains of North America that I mentioned last week from the article that I had referred to is called Pitsit goosefoot. The grain of this plant were eaten and even made into flour to make cooked and baked foods. There is an effort to revive and use this plant now. The family of this, the genera of this plant belongs to the family Amaranthaceae, which you are all familiar with. But closely related cousins from the same genera of Pitsit goosefoot, or Cynopodium barlandieri, grows everywhere as well. For example, Cynopodium natale in Mexico, or it is actually the more common name is Hozontales. The leaves, flowers, which looks like little green seeds, matured seed shaft made into flour, all are eaten. Not only just eaten, they are considered delicacies. Of course, its cousin now is very popular even in India, Cynopodium quinoa. This plant was grown in the cold and dry region of the Andean mountains for thousands of years. Recent commercialization and popularity of the crop has caused a lot of stress in that area where it was grown for so long. Typically, what happens as the pseudo crop became popular or commercialized had happened there. People who depended on it for the nutrition were selling it because of the market forces, and they were opting for less nutritious and processed alternatives. There were many varieties of quinoa that survived centuries, yet commercial endeavors in the recent years favored only few, thus leading to the loss of diversity and loss of some of these varieties. We really, as an uninformed and only short-term business interests, cannot, you know, really afford to be so careless. These kind of business and short-term interests have caused major losses in the past, but if we have this in the recent times, we really cannot afford it. This can be prevented with good education, awareness, and more importantly, by anchoring ourselves to the soil, to nature. So important that is. You know, I feel that it is the first step that all of us grow something on our windowsills, balcony, terrace, or yard, and even collectively in the community spaces. More we grow, more we notice the wild woody plants getting nurtured along with the plants we sow. The new ones coming up, and some attracting the butterflies, some attracting the bees, and some are more attractive to the birds. The more we connect ourselves, more we relate to the earth and its interactions with our body, more we will be healthy together. We need to question if quinoa imported from Peru is best option for us, or if olive oil farmed in Spain or Italy. Are there local alternatives for any of these? Certainly there is. To close the topic of the Cynopodium, well, there are 250 species of Cynopodiums. Is it possible that we do not have one in India as well? Yes, you got it right. We have Cynopodium album, white goosefoot. Can you tell what's most common name in India is? It is Bathua. Bathua grows across India and slightly cooler regime. It is very popular green in northern India. They grow wild even in Karnataka, but in the northern coastal Tamil Nadu, where I am located, I have not seen them, not as yet. Mostly in India, greens of this plant are very popular as a vegetable, especially in the cooler season. Bathua or chil is packed with goodness. Essential micronutrients like iron, calcium, zinc, phosphorus, and potassium, and vitamins like A, B, C, and it is also rich in fiber. Both seeds and greens of Bathua or Cynopodium album can be eaten in India. It is the greens which is most popular. But the plant grows all over in Eurasia and in parts of Europe. This has been eaten as grains for ages. Foragers there are reviving that culture. Since there are millions of recipes of Bathua greens online, I will try out eating the seeds and will post them on my Instagram, Edible Weed Walk. If you are following me there, you can join me in my experiment with the Bathua seeds. Are these Canopodium genera without any problems or issues? Why are we not uber familiar about eating them? Well, chaffing wild grain, any wild grain or pseudo grain, is a challenge. Once chaffed, which can be time consuming, some may be quite bitter. You may have noticed that there is a certain amount of bitterness in quinoa also. Other wilder ones may actually be more bitter. All Canopodiums are known to be high in saponin and oxalic acid content. Saponin can be gotten rid by mostly soaking and properly chaffing. Oxalic acid presence means that the plant needs to be carefully cooked and eaten carefully, that is, not too often if one has, issues with kidneys and other renal problems. But all Canopodiums that I have mentioned and others still grow as wild weedy and wonderful greens and seeds that can be incorporated in our diet with care. And diversity, it would add diversity to our menu. Given the season and the topic of our discussion today, I want to honor collectively all the wild weedy plants. Leave no one behind is perhaps what these weedy plants truly demonstrate. They are available easily, and if we keep our earth clean enough, they're accessible to all, often at zero cost. One such plant is Ipomoea aquatica. It is known as Kolmi in Bengali, Kalamba in Sanskrit, Nali in Tamil, Kangkong in Malay. There are many other names. It is most likely originated in tropical Asia, but can be found growing wild in South and Southeast Asia, tropical Africa, South and Central America, and Oceania. However, it is an important leafy green veggie only in the East and Southeastern Asia, parts of Eastern India, and it is eaten in other parts of India, though not as popular. We grew up reading stories about those who did not have vegetables to eat, collecting it as part of their daily chore from the swampy areas near the pond, free of cost, and eating this vitamin-rich, nutrient-rich green with rice. Perhaps that's why it also has an association with as a poor person's food. Even at home, while my mother is an excellent cook and a botanist by training, making sure that we eat seasonal greens and therefore got water spinach a few times a year, clearly it was not a favored one. Not because the plant was not very tasty, but it had a stigma attached to it. Somehow that stigma is going now. It is an awesome and yummy vegetable, and those people in southwestern monsoon region can eat it soon. However, we who are facing the northeastern monsoon now will have to wait until the rains are over or when the rain relents for a substantial period of time. Well, here is a recipe you can try out. Pretty simple. Get 300 to 400 grams or one bunch of greens. Wash thoroughly. Chop. Chop garlic, at least 4 to 6 cloves or as per your choice. 2 or 3 fresh green chilies. Slit them. 1 cup of onion chopped, 1 teaspoon of black cumin seeds, 1 teaspoon of sugar, and salt to taste. Take 2 tablespoons of oil, mustard and sesame, both goes very well. Either is fine. Add garlic, and then when it gets a little brown, add the black cumin and chilies. Fry a little, then add the greens. Stir, cover, open, and stir and let it get cooked in the medium heat. That is, you'll cook it covered, but from time to time open and stir. Once the volume has gone down to almost cooked, then open the lid, add the sugar, and then finally the salt. You can add soy sauce as a change. And then, if you are adding soy sauce and salt, add the salt last. For a non-vegetarian version, one adds 1 cup of shrimp marinated with a curcumin along with the greens. I also like adding umami in the vegetarian version by adding dry mushrooms, rehydrated by soaking them in warm water and cutting them into small strips. If you're adding this, add it along with the greens. There you go. You have a simple stir-fry dish ready. This preparation itself ties us beyond our boundaries. Most likely, this style of stir-fry cooking came to the Bengali cuisine from the Chinese immigrants who came and settled in Kolkata generations back. Who knows? Try out the water spinach kangkong sometimes and let me know how you like it, or if you cook it differently, let us know. We would love to try. I see you next week. Until then, stay well and stay safe.
This is Auroville Radio, voices from the city of Dome.